And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I wanted to quote to you today from the writings of Pope Leo XIII on the family. And we find that this holy pope, he's not canonized, but definitely a holy, learned man who was called upon to lead the church for some 25 years, we find that he is very much the defender of the family. And really, every true pope is the defender of the family. He upholds this God-given plan for society. Remember that each person, before he or she can be a member of the larger society, has to first of all be a member of the smaller society, the family. And so today we are reflecting upon the family as the basic unit of society. It's as though each family is a cell within the body. And the healthier each cell is, the healthier overall will be the entire body. But to the extent that each unit, you might say, is not as healthy, therefore the larger society suffers. And so when I read again from Pope Leo XIII and see how he promotes the family, defends the family, upholds the family, we're reminded that the Catholic Church is always going to be the number one defender and preserver and upholder of the family. And this is not something even that the Church has instituted. God invented the family, the human family, father, mother, children. And that is his plan for the father and mother in that committed lifelong relationship of marriage to raise their children. It takes many years of raising children. The father contributing what he does as father, the mother contributing what she does as mother. And so the Catholic Church will always uphold the family. The church, as Pope Leo XIII did, will warn of the dangers against the family. And yes, there are many dangers to families. Families have to be spiritually protected. They have to be spiritually motivated. And this is what the Catholic Church does over and over again to preach the spiritual things that will help the family to stay strong, to stay together. I brought the readings here from the encyclical of Pope Leo XIII, one of his encyclicals on the family, and unfortunately I seem to have missed the first page, but I'll pick up where I did have his writings on the family. And so to all fathers of families, Saint Joseph is indeed the best model of paternal vigilance and care. In the Most Holy Virgin Mother of God, mothers may find an excellent example of love, modesty, resignation of spirit, and the perfecting of faith. And in Jesus, who was subject to his parents, the children of the family have a divine pattern of obedience, which they can admire, reverence, and imitate. So there you have it. Fathers, look to St. Joseph. Mothers, look to our Blessed Mother, the ever-Virgin Mary, who is Mother of the Incarnate God. And children, look to Jesus. And yes, he will help you in your obedience and reverence to your parents. As we read in today's gospel, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Right there, that sentence, you'll never run out of inspiration or subject of meditation. How can God be so subject to his own human creatures? And yet, God humbles himself that much to obey his foster father, St. Joseph, and his mother, the Virgin Mary. What an amazing example. There's no greater prototype or pattern for families than the Holy Family. So we see the importance of today's feast to help each individual family to become better, to resolve its difficulties. Again, imitate St. Joseph, Our Lady, and the child Jesus. One other point it might be good to remind us of, it says Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. How are we to understand that? Isn't he God and God doesn't change? Ah, but that's the mystery right there. The unchanging God was united to a human nature, a body and soul, making him still only one person, but with two natures. And it is in his human nature that he was capable of change and growth. So that's how we understand his growing in wisdom, age, and grace. Every action of our Lord's was supremely meritorious and added to the reward that he would receive in his human nature. Again, that is a mystery. But let me read a little bit more from Pope Leo XIII as he continues to extol and glorify the Holy Family. Those who are of noble birth may learn from this family of royal blood how to live simply in times of prosperity and how to retain their dignity in times of distress. Isn't the Holy Family the most noble of all families? And yet did they not live as humble and poor, as a humble and poor family, has lived a simple life? So whatever a family's rank may be in society, they can still imitate the Holy Family in their virtue. The rich may learn that moral worth is to be more highly esteemed than wealth. Artisans and all such as are bitterly grieved by the narrow and slender means of their families, if they would but consider the sublime holiness of the members of this domestic fellowship, cannot fail to find some cause for rejoicing in their lot rather than being merely dissatisfied with it. So for those that are poor, those that are having a much harder time making ends meet, it happened to the Holy Family too. And again, there's your inspiration and help. St. Joseph had to engage in trade in order to live. Even the divine hands of Jesus labored at an artisan's calling. It is not to be wondered at that the wealthiest, if truly wise, have been willing to cast away their riches and to embrace a life of poverty with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And so we see that those that are called to the religious life, they give up ownership or use of a personal ownership of material things in order to strive for a greater virtue of poverty, an imitation of the Holy Family. And religious life is a family too, not by analogy, obviously, but there is, it has things that relate to the human family, and that is their calling, to sanctify themselves in the religious life, which again is the highest of all callings. From the foregoing, it is evident how natural and fitting it was that devotion to the Holy Family should in due time have grown up amongst Catholics, and once begun that it should spread far and wide. Proof of this lies first in the sodalities instituted under the invocation of the Holy Family, then in the unique honors bestowed upon it, and above all by the privileges and favors granted to this devotion by our predecessors to stimulate fervor and piety in this regard. Indeed, among Christian families, nothing more salutary nor efficacious can be imagined than the example of the Holy Family, where are to be found all domestic virtues in perfection and completeness. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are invoked in the home, charity is likely to be maintained in the family through their example and heavenly entreaty. A good influence is thus exerted over conduct. The practice of virtue is thus incited, and thus the hardships which are everywhere wont to harass mankind are both mitigated and made easier to bear. To increase devotion to the Holy Family, Pope Leo XIII prescribed even a consecration of the Christian family thereto, and Pope Benedict XV extended the Mass and office to the entire Church. So there we have it again, the wonderful teaching of the Church, putting the Holy Family there out as the example, inspiration, and strength for the human family. God has been so good to give us this, not only inspiration, but actual help as well. One other thought regarding the epistle for today. This is an epistle that occurs at least twice a year, maybe even three times. And what does it talk about? What does the things that it takes to make a family work? And St. Paul says, put on this heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. So there we have it, the wonderful exhortations of St. Paul that will only make for a happier and holier family life. It will help you in the necessary self-sacrifice that has to be there. But remember, self-sacrifice is true charity. So today we look at the home, as we look at the Holy Home of Nazareth, but we look at our own individual homes, because that is where the family resides. And that is where we need to find the sanctification of the family in daily home living. Remember that no matter how important a job a man may have as breadwinner, I know sometimes the mother has to do that, but ideally the father. Remember, the home does not exist for the job. The job exists for the home and the family. And let us look at the family and the home with greater appreciation. And there's a wonderful quote I'll leave you with here. And this is from a source called Back to the Home. It's a website that promotes living simply, thinking about education in a more familial, holistic way, liturgizing one's life as Catholics, and rediscovering home economics. These are their main ideas. But he shares this idea from Chesterton about the great value of the family life at home. And actually, I should say he borrowed it. He calls this borrowing a tactic from Chesterton, but it's his own rephrasing of idea that easily could have been found among Chesterton's voluminous writings. It's about a man who's looking for fulfillment, looking more often outside the home and the family. And this is what he says. So this man set out in search of great treasure. And when he was far enough from home, he looked back and realized that his own cottage, the glittering kitchen window like gold spilling out from an enormous and overflowing wooden chest, contained just such a great treasure. But it had been too large and too close to be seen. So God bless you in your daily family life, families. We pray for you. We pray for all fathers, mothers, and children. And may they all continue to be inspired and uplifted by the example of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.